Advisors will reconvene. We are at item 6B, community development. This is a public hearing, planning division. And forgive me, Rachel, I kept you waiting and I'm sorry, but.
It's all right. This will be quick compared to last.
All right. So this is a continued public hearing from the second reading of an ordinance reclassifying land in the unincorporated community of Grenada Town Center CC to Light Industrial MM. APN 038-448-021.
So the Board of Supervisors, you guys originally heard this 2 weeks ago for the first reading of the proposed zone change. Today is the second reading. Planning has not received any public comments regarding this project, and we recommend approval.
And did you tell us your name?
Rachel Jarrett, Senior Planner.
Thank you.
Presentation of correspondence?
The clerk's office has received no correspondence for this.
Thank you. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Any in-house? Seeing none. Any online?
None online.
Proponents, arguments, and or evidence? Any in-house? Any online?
None online.
Seeing none. Opponents, arguments, and or evidence? Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Online?
None online.
Public comment? Any in-house? Seeing none. Any online?
None online.
None online. There's no rebuttal by proponents. There's no rebuttal by opponents, as there was none. So we will close the hearing and bring it back to the board. What's the wishes of the board? I guess I'll make the recommended motion.
I'll second.
All righty. Supervisor Hill.
I was absent for the first reading. I'll abstain.
Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopczak.
Aye. We're at 7A. We're going to reschedule Forest Service coming back. We kept them here too long.
just an open later date then?
Yeah,
at this
I guess
point?
Whoever scheduled yes. that will just get with them and bring them back.
All righty, thank you.
8A, General Services Airports. Good morning.
Good morning.
It still
I was just,
is.
I was looking to see. Good morning, Board of Supervisors. Joy Hold, Director of General Services. I'm here to give an update on the airports. We are currently in our eighth week of construction at the Weed Airport. We've had a bit of a setback. The asphalt, the test strip that went down, did not pass the asphalt quality control. So they will have to remove that asphalt from phase one and relay it. Should be about a 4 to 5 day turnaround, but it will not affect the overall time frame and the end of the completion date. Just a week after July. Happy Camp, we met with the U.S. Forest Service. I did this week. We'll have to start by putting a letter together to start the process. It'll be what our plans are moving forward, and then we'll work with them from there on. And then Scott Valley, we're going to have somebody go out there. I just was out there yesterday because there was a hard landing. Everything's fine, but I did notice that the leaves have blown into the bathroom, so we'll get somebody out there to take care of that. But other than that, Scott Valley looks great. The view is good.
That's all I have.
Any questions from the board? Supervisor Howe?
Just one quick one. Do you know if the retardant base is operational yet?
I'm sorry, the what?
The retardant base.
It will start on the 16th.
The 16th?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do we have any new airports being built?
Hopefully not.
I was like,
what? Had to lighten it up a little.
It worked.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
8B, Health and Human Services. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair Carstep, members of the board, Sarah Collard, Director of Health and Human Services. And with me today is Madeline Bryan, our housing coordinator. And per your request, we are back to report out on our shower truck outreach initiative. So I will turn it over to Madeline.
Good morning, board. In January, I brought a contract before the board.
with emergency command.
Do you have a PowerPoint?
I do have a PowerPoint.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Wendy.
You're welcome.
Just because I can see it here doesn't mean. Okay, so in January, I presented a contract to the board with emergency command support to provide mobile shower and laundry services to individuals who are experiencing homelessness. And as directed by the board at that time, I am here to present on the initial demand for the service and the initial outcomes from that service. And this program is a partnership between our social services and behavioral health divisions. Social services contracted for the shower and laundry services, and both divisions have been collaborating on staffing and providing outreach during the events. The program is, our model is to bring people into the service to address their immediate needs, but to establish a connection in order to connect them to longer-term resources and greater long-term stability. And so, for example, the process that we have, it's running very smoothly. We have an analyst, Joanne Johnson, who is doing a wonderful job working with emergency command support to ensure that we've had a really smooth operation. Really no significant issues or incidences in running the program. Emergency command support responds to disasters normally with this service, so they've been able to bring their understanding of working with people in crises to bear for this service, and it's been a really great partnership. When somebody shows up to the shower truck event, we sign them in and collect some data on the individual on the service, and one of the first things we ask them is if we can put them onto a list that we have that helps people to get prioritized for housing services that are available. So we try to connect them to housing in that way. We assist them if they don't have a birth certificate or an ID. We fill out those applications with them. We help them set up appointments for mental health or SUD if they're willing to engage in those services. So a variety of, you know, resources and connecting them to those at the same time that they've shown up to get a shower, to receive that, you know, dignity and health and hygiene. And an important part of our program is our homeless outreach worker. That's also a new initiative that has started since I presented in January. We created this new outreach position and filled it in March or early February. And the homeless outreach worker, Rico, is also there to help work with people. And if we can't address, you know, we try to work on addressing people's needs immediately because timing can be really crucial when someone is willing to get help. And so we try to address it immediately. But we also have Rico, and he goes and follows up with people afterwards. So, for example, we have, you know, job lists, and if somebody says they need some help working on that or getting to an appointment, Rico can follow up with them, or if they need Rico to help them get to a mental health appointment or to follow up on the process that we started with their birth certificate, things like that. And, you know, given the board's concerns about the equitable distribution of our services across the county, I did also want to note that Rico is doing far more than just participating in the shower truck events. He has started to address the issue of our outreach in other areas of the county and has done outreach in Happy Camp, Montague, McLeod, Dunsmuir. That may not be an exhaustive list, but he will be talking later, so you can ask him more about that. But we're trying to learn more about the specific needs of the homeless population in those areas as well, and which services would best fit in those areas. Can we do the next slide, please? So one of the outcomes from our program has been to galvanize other organizations to assist in providing outreach services. So we've really seen new providers also coming to these events and doing outreach as well. So it's compounding on what we can provide and adding additional services, you know, that the county isn't having to provide or coordinate. And it's also increased coordination between services and resources that were already available. You can see the list of partners here. Again, it's not exhaustive, but I was trying to keep it to one page. So first of all, I just want to say the city of Eureka has been an incredible partner for this project. They provided the location and the utilities, and they come to every event and help us set it up. And because they're able to do that, we were able to reduce the amount that we spend on this program. And we've also had wonderful partnership from nonprofits. They've provided clean clothing for individuals to change into, and the food banks provide meals and water at every event. Our public health van has been doing blood sugar checks, blood pressure checks, and other health services. And Siskiyou Spay and Neuter has attended to provide veterinary care and spay and neuter services. Local crisis, different church groups, and veteran services. And one thing that has been exciting for me is that we've actually had organizations who are not even based in Siskiyou County, but come up to these events to help people who fit the criteria of who they're serving. Particularly Nation's Finest, a veteran service that's based in Reading, has attended several of our events, and I can get more into that later. And we have new organizations attending next month as well. Okay. So this data provided on the slide is through May 21st. I do have some updated data today. I don't have updated data for the laundry and showers yet, but as of May 21st, we have provided 404 showers and 404 loads of laundry and 260 showers. The total number of individuals we've served so far in the program is 155 as of the end of this month. So a little bit higher than what is on the slide. And the average participants per event is 43.4. To give you a sense of the demand, it was significant even from the start. We did see 32 individuals at the first event, but what we've seen is that, you know, with the stability of the service, people knowing about it and where to find it, we've seen an increase too significantly, but a more significant increase over time. So we're in the mid-40s normally. We've seen as many as 57 individuals in one event. And the great thing is that some people are returning to us to say, I'm here to talk with Rico about how my applications are going. And so there's kind of more consistent engagement. Next slide, please. So the impact that we've seen, you know, in this, you know, short time frame of a few months, I would say it most often falls into two types of categories. One is that an individual might come and because we are there and we can help them right in that moment, we're able to connect them immediately to a service that they might not accept, you know, the next day if we try to set up an appointment. And I would say another kind of success story that we see is individuals who have been unwilling to engage in services in the past have come for a shower and then come back and been willing to talk to us and then come back, and we've been able to establish a relationship in order to get them connected to longer-term resources that can increase their stability. I'd like to give you a couple examples. So for one shower truck event, I had a man show up at 9 a.m. for a shower, and he appeared to be experiencing withdrawals. And he said, "I am slowly killing myself, but it doesn't even matter because I just want it to end." And we helped him to get a shower, and he saw a flyer that we had about opioid use services and substance use disorder services. And he said, "I don't know what this is, but I need this, I need help." And we said, "Okay, we can help you right now." And we walked him over to the SUD department, and by 1:30, he was in a car on his way to rehab. That kind of turnaround is unusual for us to see with this population, to engage in services that are crucial to their longer-term stability. We've also, you know, our relationship building has enabled us to connect with populations that are historically vulnerable and less likely to access the services they need. One example is I had a gentleman show up and he had an Army hat on, and I asked him, "Are you a veteran?" And he said, "Yes, I am. And, you know, we don't have a veteran housing program, but I knew of one that has been to Siskiyou County a few times. It's based in Reading." And I called him on the phone with this gentleman, and we were able to talk with Nation's Finest. And we asked Nation's Finest, "Hey, we're, you know, connecting you with this individual, but we're also doing another shower truck event. Can you come up to that one? Because we will ask this individual to come back to us and you guys can meet." And what's important about that is, you know, the individual experiencing homelessness may not have a reliable phone. So just the phone connection is challenging to maintain. So we had a time and a place and a location where he would be able to meet the veteran service program in person. And then since the Nation's Finest has come up to a couple events, and they have not only worked with that individual, but any time that we have a veteran show up at the service, we connect the veteran to Nation's Finest, who is assisting them to get housing programs that not necessarily even in Siskiyou County. There may be beds available in Eureka, for example, but they can do housing navigation and other services. I'd like to provide a testimony about the sense of dignity that the shower gives to individuals who are in crisis, if I may. This quote is from one of our participants. "If it wasn't for this service, I wouldn't have gone to Six Stones for treatment. It's embarrassing to go somewhere not showered, not clean. I took a shower, got clean clothes, and I went to Six Stones that same day. I've been going to Six Stones for treatment ever since." And now I'd like to introduce some additional presenters who can give you a different perspective. Mine is as one who's developing a program, but you can hear from these other presenters, and then I'm happy to take questions after that. I'd like to introduce you to Cole Azare from Nation's Finest. One of our partners.
Your turn.
Okay, all right. Hello. So just read off this my speech.
If you would give us your name, though.
My name is Cole Azare, and I'm with Nation's Finest.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Cole Azare, and I'm an outreach specialist with Nation's Finest. For those unaware of us, we are an organization that works to assist veterans in combating homelessness through either rehousing, if they are currently homeless, or homelessness prevention resources, such as helping our clients get caught up on their rent or utilities if they are facing imminent homelessness. A part of my story that a lot of people don't know is that I'm also formerly a homeless veteran myself, and I keenly remember what it was like when access to a shower or laundry facilities was a luxury I didn't have. I recently was invited to represent Nation's Finest at the shower and laundry outreach events being held here in Wairika. I started attending in March, and since then, I've been able to attend on two further occasions. While at these events, I have seen some great things come about. First, I want to share that I have seen the people managing these events utilizing it to its greatest outreach potential. What does that mean? It means that I've seen them screening every participant that shows up, getting them enrolled in their data collection system if they have not already been assigned. I've also watched as the various county workers I've been making on-the-spot referrals for services to providers that have been in attendance. I have personally received referrals and introductions for at least 10 individual veterans in your community. That may not seem like much, but in the veteran community, it is usually a very small population when compared to the local population. It's also big for us because for only having been able to attend about 4 hours per day, that's a good number for us. I imagine the success for other providers is similar, as they are not serving so much of a niche population that Nation's Finest is. I also wish to speak about something that I personally witnessed and touched my heart. On the first day I was at the event, a woman utilized both the shower and laundry services. When she exited the shower in a newly cleaned clothes, she looked up and had a look on her face. It was a look that communicated that she felt she had restored some of her lost dignity. Dignity that feels lost when you are homeless and unable to bathe properly on a regular basis. She also stated that she felt like a human again. I said earlier that I keenly remember this experience myself. It was this specific moment that reminded me what it was like 5 years ago, when I was first able to shower and put on freshly clean clothes again. I bring this up because it's easy to forget that people we are trying to help out there are largely people just like us. They have hopes and dreams. They are someone's son or daughter. It's easy to forget that most of the people in our community are just a few paychecks away from finding themselves in the same situation. The hard thing to do is remember this about homelessness and endeavor to restore the dignity of our neighbors and help them get out of this situation with the hand up that these types of outreach events can offer. With that, I urge you to continue to fund this program and see it utilized for the potential to help the community's most vulnerable members. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Paul. I'd like to introduce you to Baron Browning, who is one of the owners of our contractor emergency command support.
Hey everybody, my name is Baron Browning. I'm the Vice President of Emergency Command Support. We would like to introduce Kevin Lunty as well, one of our partners back here, who has also been attending these events with us. And I will just tell you, to coincide with what Nation's Finest said, is we literally see a transformation when they go into the shower with their head down and not able to look at us. And when they come out, they're smiling and happy, and just for a few moments anyway, or a few hours, they have this really transformation of what life looks like outside of where they're at today. And so what we see them is then start engaging with your staff and really becoming part of, wanting to become part of the community and really wanting to change their lives. And as they come back more and more, they're telling other people to come. And so those people are then coming and be able to make that mark of who they are and where they want to go, what they want to be, and be part of society again. So from our standpoint of emergency command support and the passion that we have for this, and the compassion we have for those that we're serving, we absolutely appreciate it. And I want to give you, emergency command support is really about giving back to the community that we're serving. And so, for Siskiyou County residents, we have two employees that live here in Siskiyou County. One of them is currently experiencing homelessness. And so, for us, to be able to bring that person in and have compassion with them and take care of them, it's truly an honor for us. In closing, we'd like to thank the Siskiyou County opportunity for being a part of the project. We have seen a firsthand transformation in these people's lives. In just a few hours, it is truly grateful to be part of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Darren. And I will just add, that the individual who is experiencing homelessness originally connected to us at the shower truck events. And that's when Emergency Command Support offered the position. So we're really excited about that, kind of cycle, if you will, into that person's stability. And I'd like to introduce you last to Rico Gutierrez, our new homeless outreach worker, who is doing a lot of the heavy lifting at these events.
Good morning. I'm really excited to be here and talk about some of our...
Just need your name for the record.
Rico Gutierrez.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here and talk about some of our outcomes. And I would like to start off with people that are living on the hill or on the Greenway or people experiencing homelessness in Sissonia County. If you would have asked them when they were 10 years old what their dream would have been, I can assure you it was not being homeless in Wairika and living the way that they are. Maybe poor choices have gotten helped them to or hindered them from being their best, but this was not their plan. And so having opportunities to assist them in going forward in life is really important. So in this process, I've walked about 8 people into behavioral health. Of those 8 people, 4 of them are chronically and persistently mentally ill. There are 4 of them. There's one of them that has not gotten services in over 10 years, medication or mental health services. And there were 3 other that it's been about 5 years for them. So I walked them in, started them into services, and their goal now is to be able to reconnect with their family, improve their mental health so that they can develop their relationships with their family. The guy that has 10 years would like to reconnect with his son, who he hasn't seen since he stopped his medication over 10 years ago. And I think that's really important to change in his life. They're all at risk of grave disability and possible jail as a result of impulsive anger outbursts because of their mental health issues. The other 4 people I engaged, I set up appointments at these events and met them and brought them in and walked them up to the window and assisted them connecting because they had fear that prevented them from accessing those services. This is really a trimmed down list. This isn't people that we just made connection with that came in on their own and because we made connection. These are people that actually I physically was involved in. We've had the 2 people that came into substance use disorder program, one that immediately went into the 18-month program. And then there's another guy that I walked in that's on a waiting list, but he is currently doing day treatment, and so outpatient treatment. So he's still getting services. So I have referred another 6 clients to the SUD program that I didn't walk in, that they were okay with doing it themselves. They didn't really want that services. And I didn't actually expect maybe that they were going to come in. They were resistant. But one of them for sure is actually in treatment now. I've seen him in the hallway. So he did come in on his own, which is incredible. I'd like to reiterate a lot of what Matt said. One of them, we've had people that were hired as right out of the one woman that's been working with them. With the shower. So I had a guy come in and tell me that he had an interview the next day. And he was really excited to tell me that. I think one of the things is we're developing these relationships with people. I think one of the greatest stories I have is on Thursday of last week, a gentleman came in, somebody that we've met and we know. I didn't realize I had that much of a connection with him. He came in on Thursday morning, and he asked if I could charge his phone for him. And I was leaving, but I arranged to have the phone left at the front door. He said he had an appointment at 10 o'clock for a job interview. As it turned out, he really just wanted to tell me that he had a job interview at 10 o'clock. Yet he had made that much connection with me. I didn't realize that. But I mean, so about 1 o'clock, I got a message saying that he called or came in and told them, let me know he got that job. When he came in, he was wearing a Carhartt shirt. He looked really good. He was wearing a Carhartt shirt and all. And I said, hold on. And I went back. We have a box of stuff. And I got him a button-up shirt. And I gave it to him. I said, this will look better. And he said, well, everybody there, you know, wears a T-shirt. It's, this is fine. And I said, yeah, but you're applying for the job. You're not just going to work. And it was just obvious on his face. It was just really clear that the light went off. And he was like, oh, yes, okay. And he tried the shirt on. It worked. He looked good on him. And so I think it's really important to realize that that we are making those contacts with communication and relationships with people. And so the thing I'd also like to say is that because these are numbers that physically that I've brought into behavioral. These aren't people that I brought into Six Stones. I have several people that I connected with them. There are several people that I've connected to all kinds of services. But the great part of it is the connection that we've made with the community. And I really attribute some of the fact that the Hill has got cleaned up a lot to the fact that they're part of our community now, right? We have brought them. They're communicating with us. We actually have a relationship now. They aren't those people on the Hill. They don't feel like those people on the Hill. They feel like, you know, they come down, they engage with all of us really openly. They communicate. I go to the store. They greet me. There isn't that them and us thing. And so there is a lot more movement that we're going to have in the very near future as a result of this. And I just want to share that it's been exciting doing this job. I was not 100% sold on taking this position. And I am. It's been really, really exciting. And as far as working in other communities, yeah. I've been, other communities are going to be very different to access. Happy Camp, their community, they're multi-generational unhoused where they're living with families. It's not ideal for them. So there's stuff that has to be done there, but it's going to be very different than what we're doing in Wairika. And it's almost invisible. The same way with McLeod. And Montague. It's very, each community is going to be a different challenge, and I'm really looking forward to that. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Great. And that concludes my presentation for today. Do you have any questions?
Questions from the board? Anything over here? Supervisor Valenzuela?
Only that I've visited this site 3 times. I stumbled upon it the first time, saw it the second time, realized that you're taking donations for clothes, so I cleaned out my closet because I'm never going to get back with 36 size pants, and so it's never been worn.
We do struggle to get men's clothing, so if you have any men's clothing, like I think men wear their clothing out completely, and that's why we don't have it, and women are more likely to get rid of it, but we just don't have enough men's clothing. So.
And I learned that the second time that I was there, so that made me go through my closet. I will tell you that I was impressed with how clean the operation worked. I was always amazed at the bags of laundry that were applied.
It is running more smoothly than I had prepared for, you know, because there can be behavioral issues, pet issues. So I thought we would have more, but you know, I have to credit the process that we've set up, and the fact I think it comes down to 3 things. We have a fantastic analyst who's doing a great job setting things up. Mm-hmm. Our contractor has experience working in emergency situations. So this is actually a very common environment for them. I think Baron can speak more to that. And then lastly, we're providing the service that they want. Sure. This is based on the information that we collected about what they consider their barriers being to getting services. So it's easier to have people be behaved if they're accessing something they want and it's not us telling them what we think they should have. And they're more willing to listen to our ideas after they've showered.
So, again, just seeing the personal experience, seeing that happen, I saw Rico pointed out who the homeless person that got hired on.
Mm-hmm.
I saw firsthand, the last time I was there, a homeless person at the veteran site there. So, sounds like it's working as designed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Supervisor Chris?
Yeah, thank you. I can attest to them keeping their clothes. I have clothes that are members of the family. you keep it for everything. The stability of the program, of course, is important.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the stability of the program then provides stability to the clients
mm-hmm.
in having that. I do like the comprehensive approach you're taking to it. Speaking here, I never would have thought of that. But it foregoes a lot of future problems.
Mm-hmm.
For the community there. The veterans outreach, of course, is big. The way I see it also, either we contact them through the shower or law enforcement needs to contact them on the street. And so this is a much friendlier environment to contact. Frees up law enforcement or ambulance. I know there's ambulance and fire calls. Volunteer fire department here in Marietta.
Yeah, I didn't mention it, but we do try to connect them to healthcare as well.
Oh, awesome. That's good. And then with that too, with connecting them to healthcare, unfortunately if someone's homeless, when do they see the doctor is when it gets worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's an ambulance call or use of limited volunteer firefighters. So having this preventative care there. And then lastly what I like about it is through the rehab efforts and through the vets efforts, we're actually seeing people off the street, which benefits everybody. So, and then just one point I came up with lately, or right now, was the financial planning. So you have someone that's homeless, just getting their first job. Do we provide any assistance for financial planning, like where to put the money, something like that, in the bank, or just having it in a sock or something like that is you have some dangerousness to it. So is there any efforts on? Okay, you got your first job, now just we take your check and
like financial literacy education.
Yeah. Which even though you go through school, you don't get
yeah.
it.
Yeah, no, that's true. I would say the program is so new that we haven't got to that stage of financial planning.
Okay.
But in our housing programs, we do that. We
okay.
do, we provide budgeting skills training. We can set people up with a payee. So there's someone else who pays their crucial bills and gives them a stipend.
Yeah, and all of the case managers do a lot of that work with all of their clients, so that's something that Rico is very well versed in and, you know, helps people with those kinds of issues.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and one thing about the shower trucks is if someone does get established with other services, like a housing program through social services or mental health with behavioral health, they then have access to a case manager or a social worker who can work with them on those skills. And for the behavioral health staff, if their client is experiencing homelessness, they can still work with them on those skills even while they're experiencing homelessness. So they don't have to wait for them to, you know, meet some threshold.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. And then the last thing that someone said here, it's amazing what someone can accomplish when they're believed in. So what you're doing here and believing for folks is getting them off the street, jobs, stability. So thank you.
Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but the consistency piece to this is incredible and so valuable. Location and the staff, knowing that these folks can go back to the same place, see the same people, builds such a great relationship that it's invaluable to them, and I think it gives them peace of mind and gives them so much more value in knowing that you guys are going to be there over and over again. And it makes things so much easier. Communication, you know, we've had this conversation over
mm-hmm.
and over again in every single meeting we go to. flyers, social media, getting the word out there consistently is what makes these numbers higher.
Mm-hmm.
And again, telling us and the community about these successes is what makes these programs so much better. And gets the word out to everybody. So yay, we're doing it, it's working. This relationship with Nation's Finest is incredible. I think it's done so much good, not only for the public perception, but for our veterans that have been neglected. I think it's an amazing relationship that we're building there. And Rico, you're the bomb. You're doing a great job, and you have taken on an amazing, hard project and position, and don't ever leave. You're doing a great job. So thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you very much.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Nothing further. Thank you very much. Appreciate all you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you. County Clerk, item 8C.
Okie dokie. This is an item to discuss request to reschedule a personnel hearing regarding an appeal of termination filed on behalf of a sheriff's office employee. This would be to a date in August rather than the already set June 19th date. The clerk's office was informed middle of last week, right about close to agenda needing to be posted, and we got this on here, that hearing would need to be rescheduled to a date in early August. There are certain dates that are not available, which would be August 8th and 9th. See those as a Thursday and a Friday, and also August 20th, which is a Tuesday. The two regular board meetings for the Board of Supervisors is the 6th and the 13th of August. So anything...
How much time do they require on this?
I don't recall. I want to say maybe an hour for the presentation was all that was given early on.
Correct. I would say half a day.
Half a day. So we could do it on a board day?
Correct, in the afternoon.
Afternoon. So the 6th or the 13th?
I do the 6th, if that works. If I know the first one can be jam-packed, too, so I'm looking at Miss Angela, because you see the agenda, I don't.
Yep.
I do have something in the afternoon on the 13th, but if I have to miss it, I have to miss it. That's fine. But
we can do
6th,
August 6th, then.
Does the 6th work for your schedule?
Yes.
Unless the colleagues have a difference or something.
I'm okay with either one. I think that unless the 6th is really jammed, I mean,
okay.
You know, I'm okay with that.
Right.
And if necessary, it may go into the 7th, which I don't anticipate that, but it, you know, we do need to consider that as well if we're doing a half day.
The 7th is a Wednesday.
Yeah,
I don't
correct.
See anything on the 7th listed there, like Planning Commission or anything
mm-hmm.
like that. That would
but
be a possibility.
Yeah.
We could put that as part of the motion to include possibly to the 7th.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. I'll bring the 10th, maybe camp out there soon.
Okay.
You got a shower
yeah.
A fancy big old lounge chair in the back room.
So with that, I think we're looking at August 6th in the afternoon and potentially the morning of the 7th?
Correct.
So a motion to vacate the present hearing and
okay.
reschedule.
So let's do that first.
So
and then we're going to do another one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have a motion and second on vacate.
And that was
19th.
Valenzuela and Howe.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Excuse me, Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsev.
Aye. So now
okay.
we need a motion to move or to schedule the hearing on August 6th and in the afternoon and potentially the morning of the 7th.
Mm-hmm. I'll second.
Okay.
And that was Supervisor Haupt and Valenzuela, correct?
Yes.
All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll recess as the Board of Supervisors and convene as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. This is a time for public comment. We're at 9A. Any public comment in-house? Seeing none. Online?
None.
None. Minute approval for May 21st.
I've received no corrections.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion and second.
Okay. Director, help.
Abstain.
Thank you. Excuse me. Director Valenzuela.
Mm-hmm.
Director Chris.
Aye.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Kopsev.
Aye. We'll adjourn as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Conservation District and convene as the Siskiyou Power Authority. This is a time for public comment. We are item 10A. Anyone in-house? Anyone online?
None online.
Minute approval.
No corrections either.
Move to approve. Second.
All righty. Director Haupt?
Abstain.
Thank you. Director Valenzuela?
Yeah.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Kopsev?
Aye. We'll adjourn as the Siskiyou Power Authority and convene as County Service Area 4. 11A, this is the time for public comment. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Anyone online?
None online.
Consent agenda, I would move to approve.
Second.
All righty. Director Help?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Kopsev?
Aye. Minute approval.
Again, no corrections.
Okay.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Director Haupt?
Abstain.
Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Kopsev?
Aye. We'll adjourn as the County Service Area 4 and reconvene as the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors. We're at item 12A, County Clerk, vacancy on Siskiyou RCD.
Yes, this is an unscheduled vacancy on the Siskiyou Resource Conservation District. This is for a short term ending November 26th of 2026 and is due to a resignation of Tom Meany. The clerk's office, we did our regular posting of the notice as well as asked the district to do their posting as well. And at the time the worksheet was created, the clerk's office has received no letters of interest in serving. And at this point, if we could continue this to a later date.
Okay. We'll do that.
Thank you.
Item 12B.
And B is something very similar. This is an unscheduled vacancy on the Shasta Valley Resource Conservation District for a short term ending November 30th of 2024. This is due to Zach Salvestro's resignation. The clerk did the posting as we normally do, as well as asking the district to post. I did follow up with the district that as no letters of interest in serving have been received, but they are working and speaking with some people. So if we could continue this one as well.
Okay, we'll continue it. And what about 12C, PSA 2?
We do have somebody for PSA 2. This is an unscheduled vacancy. It would be due to John Del Amico's resignation. We did our normal posting like we normally do, and we did receive interest from, find it here, gentleman by the name of John Michael Patterson, and he did submit his application and profile to PSA 2, which I sent to the executive board as well as advisory members, and did hear back from, at least from Marie, that is with the executive board, that she is in support. Marie Ingram is in support of his appointment. Didn't hear from anybody else, though.
We are.
So he's the only gentleman or the only person that has submitted a letter
can
of interest.
Up and see if we get anybody else?
I didn't see anybody else come through. Was PSA 2 sending something else?
Do you want to continue it to see if there's more availability out there? Can we do that? Or are we at a deadline?
There's no deadline.
Okay.
This is one of those that are a 4-year.
Let's continue.
Continue for now? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you do hear something or have somebody else in mind, have them get a hold of our office. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. We're at item 13A, minute approval for May 21st.
I've received no corrections.
Move to approve.
Second.
All righty. Supervisor Help?
Abstain.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye. Let's do board and staff reports. Any staff reports?
Angela Davis, County Administrator. Just a friendly reminder of the County Code, Chapter 3.1. Fireworks are prohibited in the unincorporated areas of the county. Since we're getting close to July 4th.
Yes. Okay.
Just a reminder.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's on our website, too, the ordinance, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And it's not something we have to bring back It's in place.
It's in place.
In place.
It's in our county code. Correct.
Thank you.
So, end report.
Thank you. Board members, anyone? Supervisor Howe?
Since I wasn't here last time, Florida was hot. As it always is. High school graduation was interesting. I did teach two FFA classes, senior classes on county government at my high school before I left, and attended the California Licensed Foresters Association breakfast in Reed. And that's all I got.
Guys, are down the
Sure. On the 23rd of May, I was down in Chico for NORTEC. On the 30th, I did a, on the 31st, I met with Kathleen Hitt out at Luganville Ranch, which was funded by Sierra Nevada Conservancy, one of the first rounds of funding that came through from that since we've been in the Sierra Nevada Conservancy. That's it for now.
Okay. Supervisor Chris.
Give me just a second here.
Supervisor Ogre.
I got an EFSB board meeting on the 23rd. Attended the farmer's market here in Wairika. This was the first of the summer series of farmer's market on Meyer Street, and it was very well attended, and it looks like it's going to be a big success. That's kind of exciting for Wairika. I attended something else I'm supposed to remember, which I have not forgotten over the weekend. I'll call it good until I remember.
And the ESSB, what does that stand for?
Emergency Food. Yep.
So it's F. It's F as in Frank, not S as in Sam.
E-F.
Correct. Thank you.
Shelter program.
Shelter program. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm ready. Doris had its quarterly coffee with a cop program. Gave updates there on different issues. Willow Creek School had a fundraiser. McLeod, we had a flea market. And we also have a cemetery cleanup that we do every year. And that's fun to go to. So I worked in the McLeod Cemetery cleanup. Two things to update for colleagues. Superior California Economic Development is in the process of closing the GTA and being a nonprofit. The reason for that is we've been trying to fit a square peg in a round hole by having the loan committee with the GPA. It's not, we've patched it and patched it and patched it, but it's not quite what it needs to be. So the format is the same thing, but it'll change to and the GPA, just do the nonprofit kind of for the loans and those sorts of things, still county representation and those factors. So that'll be coming before county council. Will be giving contact on that, how we close the GP and those sorts of factors. And then Shasta County, kind of things happening down there, in the county government, there's been delays in moving this along. And then for Butte Valley Ambulance Service, it had gone dormant. It was down to one volunteer there for a little bit. But it'll be picking back up in the beginning of July. We're relying a lot on a basin ambulance from Tule to come over for runs. So there's been long delays, or either not Shasta ambulance has to come back. So I'm going to pick back up. It won't be a clean answer, but it'll be better than what we have.
I don't know.
Okay.
I went to the Mushroom Festival down in McLeod. And that was a great success. I've never seen such a big event. It was wonderful. And I heard from a lot of people that said it was a great success. So that was the other thing I went to.
So we didn't report last time, did we, on the 21st? We pushed it. Okay, so I just want to make sure I don't repeat myself. I as well as Supervisor Ogren, we both attended the RCRC meetings in Salinas. They took us out on what they call behind the lettuce veil to see how they grow lettuce down there. Very interesting. And it's all groundwater, which was real interesting. So, but the automation that they've taken on is pretty incredible. It was a good trip. Attended the California Waterfowl Dinner in Mount Shasta. There will be a Golden State Natural Resource meeting in Beaver, Lassen County, on June 26th. And then on June 28th, the RCRC chair and staff will be coming to Siskiyou for a visit. We're taking them to the Scott and Shasta. They requested it, so it's a good opportunity for them to get a lay of the ground of what's going on up here. So, and I know that Ms. Nielsen is working with RCRC staff to get that put together. So, thank you. And with that, we're going to go into closed session.